Welcome to New World Notes, edited by yours truly, Kenneth Doust. Today on New World Notes, DU Part 2, yours truly presents the Complete Idiot's Guide to Depleted Uranium. We hear Part 2 of Doug Rocky's great talk, What Kind of Nut Do You Have to Be to Use Depleted Uranium Cannon Shells? And Utah Phillips sings a love song to the eponymous state of his birth. So, especially if, like me, you have no idea what eponymous means, don't touch that keypad, and away we go. I could never figure out why everybody in the military, except upstart hillbillies like Lindy England, why everybody is issued a get-out-of-jail-free card. You ever think of that? You're a civilian, you kill two children, you get 15 years on death row and a lethal injection. You were a Marine in Haditha, you kill 10 children, you get a battle ribbon, a commendation, plus, if you didn't rape any of them, a good conduct medal. Otherwise, just the battle ribbon and the commendation. Impose harsh sanctions on a Middle Eastern country, sanctions that inconvenience the dictator hardly at all, but cause widespread disease, misery, and death in the civilian population, and you get interviewed by Leslie Stahl. Secretary Albright, being a blonde, I hate to bother anybody with a tough question, and if you were a Republican, I wouldn't. But the UN says that U.S. sanctions on Iraq have killed 500,000 Iraqi children. I have to ask, is it worth it? Yaya is worth it. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Now over to you, Ed. Ah, Madeleine Albright. Remember her? Secretary of State under Clinton. Madeleine Albright, one of Czechoslovakia's 4 or 5 great gifts to the world. Pilsner beer, the unbearable lightness of being, socialism with a human face, possibly bratwurst, and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, who holds the record for the oldest person ever to suddenly discover she's Jewish, when the Washington Post published the story. Oi, she exclaimed, that explains a lot. Like why my late husband Ira always wore those little round hats, refused to eat my pork chops, and every time he got drunk kept shouting, it's our land, we were there first. I thought he was referring to Pilsen. And she figured maybe that was why she could never find an article in the Catholic Encyclopedia about the virgin saint her church was named for. Beth Shalom. Madeleine had figured that maybe the saint was better known by another form of her name, like Lizzie Shalom. But to return to madness. Depleted uranium or DU munitions. Now, I am no expert in blowing things to smithereens. I'm neither a physicist nor a psychiatrist, and you'd have to be both to understand what the Army is up to here. But here's a simplified account by and for a layman. Think of it as the Complete Idiot's Guide to Depleted Uranium, brought to you by the Complete Idiot himself. To make a nuclear bomb or to power a nuclear power plant, you need enriched uranium, which is uranium-235. If you know what you're doing, and the U.S. and Israel don't bomb your lab back to the Stone Age beforehand, you start with 100 pounds of natural uranium. You end up with 1 pound of enriched uranium, U-235, 98 pounds of depleted uranium, U-238, and I don't know where the last pound went. Possibly KBR stole it and sold it to the Eskimos. So, depleted uranium equals U-238 equals nuclear waste. Now, don't be fooled by the term depleted. That's just a Republican trick. U-238 is plenty radioactive, and when you're done playing with it, you have to bury it carefully for, I keep seeing different numbers, but somewhere around 3 billion years, give or take a billion. That's a long-term lease. U-238 is depleted uranium, in the same sense that Wild Turkey 80 proof whiskey is depleted Wild Turkey 101 proof. U-238 and Wild Turkey 80 will both knock you on your butt if you're not careful. Now, from an armaments point of view, DU, aka nuclear waste, has many wonderful advantages. First, There must be a million tons of the stuff hanging around, and more added every day. You can only flush so much down the toilet or store so much in abandoned gas stations. Heck, its owners probably would pay you to haul some away. Compared to competing materials like tungsten, steel, and lead, you can't beat the price. Another advantage, it's very dense, very heavy, much more so than lead, and harder, too. Perfect for the body of SUVs. Smash a Mack truck head-on, he's crushed to death, and you haven't even dented a fender. Plus, it should cut your gas mileage in half. Sorry, guys. The liberal U.S. Department of Transportation keeps whining about radioactivity. But the geniuses at the Army Ordnance Division, or possibly Northeast Utilities, had a similar idea. You want to take out a Mack truck that's driving too slow in the left lane? How about a shell for the M1 Abrams tank made of DU? That'll send the jerk a message. But the ordnance guys, or ladies as the case may be, had an even better idea. Don't make the whole projectile out of DU. That'll require a lot more gunpowder and probably make the tank do a wheelie for the next 100 feet, which to me sounds way cool, but not everybody shares my tastes in entertainment. What those rascals did was make a fairly light outer projectile with a thinner pointed rod of DU called a penetrator inside. The penetrator. Is that manly as heck or what? Sounds like a Governor Schwarzenegger movie, and costs only slightly more to make. So you put this shell into the tank's big gun, make the gun go kablam, the big projectile arcs through the air and hits the Mack truck, or ambulance or school bus or whatever. Clang! The outer shell stops, the heavy pointy penetrator keeps going, and, before you can utter an expletive, penetrates the armored plate of the school bus, creating friction galore, driving the temperature up to the stratosphere, impales a kid or two as the bus bursts into flame from the intense heat of the friction, and barbecues the rest of the passengers. I can't wait for the video game. But the intense heat of the friction vaporizes some of the nuclear waste. Excuse me, DU ionizes it. Hey, poison gas! Some of the DU turns into super tiny radioactive particles, nanoparticles. These particles mix with dust and blow around in the air forever. They get in the rivers and pollute for 200 miles downstream. Now, here's the key part. You can't keep them out of your body. They go right through gas mask filters, right through protective suits, into your eyes, into your mouth, into your nose, into your body. Into every bodily fluid, every organ, into the nuclei of your cells. And they keep emitting radiation. Alpha particles, beta particles, for 3 billion years. Or until they kill you, whichever comes first. Inhale a couple particles, and you'll get tissue damage. Then nasal and pharyngeal cancer. Then lung cancer. At which point, you're really a goner. So here's the beauty of it. In the unlikely event any of these pint-sized terrorists in the school bus survive the blast and the fire, they'll die from the nuclear radiation. Not only them, but other kids living downwind. And their parents. And every American soldier on the battlefield. And if the soldiers are able to have sex again, their next child will probably be a two-headed calf with its lungs on the outside and no brain, all set to become the Speaker of the House of Representatives if it lives long enough. Now, we've been creating this new miracle material since about 1940, and just throwing it out. We've only been making cannon shells out of nuclear waste for about 20 years. The stuff was first used in warfare by the U.S. Armaments Desert Training Command, also known as Israel, in the late 80s. The U.S. Army first used DU in the service of peace and democracy in the first Gulf War of 2001. Here we contributed 300 tons of the stuff to our Baghdad beautification program. We used it next to bomb the Balkans, and now again in Iraq and Afghanistan. If this isn't recycling at its best, I don't know what is. Now, I know what you're thinking. heavy metal nuclear waste munitions that kill friend, foe, innocent bystander, and even the user, why didn't I think of that? Well, perhaps because you haven't yet registered for the special workshop Careers 2010, Lawn Care, Food Service, and Munitions Design, sponsored by the Department of Defense and the Department of English at this university. This episode is brought to you also by the State of Utah, which offers the country's best skiing, spectacular scenery, the largest collection of polygamous families anywhere, more Mormons than you could shake a beehive at, and, speaking of DU, the largest collection of military bases, test ranges, proving grounds, nuclear testing sites, businesses with ties to the Defense Department, folk musicians, and oncologists this side of Nevada. Utah, it's a whole nother place. And while we at New World Notes rummage around, looking for the second and final part of Doug Rocky's super talk on democratizing the Hodges the uranium way, let's hear a song about the state of Utah by native son Bruce Utah Phillips.
Hey, starts my old collar. Wash my coveralls. I'm gonna ride the train that they call a cannonball. Buffalo, see Washington, all picket magic fingers. Most of you were here when I was singing just a while ago, but for those of you that weren't, my name is Phillips. Not my real name. My real name is Zipper. When I got into this business, I had to change it. I couldn't see in one of those trade magazines, you know, Zipper opens in Chicago. And I come from Utah. You ever been to Utah? Why? Out where the men are men and the sheep are all nervous. The only place they get virgin wool from is from the sheep that can outrun the Mormons and the Republicans. Utah is the kind of place where rolling your own is regarded as a form of incest. Takes three frogs to stay alive, and two of them gotta be doctors. It's a fact. Now don't you see that train coming yonder round the bend? Carry me away, well I ain't coming back again. Goodbye, babe, my blue-eyed babe. This fellow sitting next to me is named Martin Grosswent. You heard him the last time we were up here. He's a great musician from Massachusetts. Become a rumor in his own time, Martin Grosswent has. Music runs in his family. When he was 3 years old, his mother bought him a drum and told him to beat it. Martin Grosswent wanted to learn to play the fiddle. He wanted to play the violin and be a concert violinist and take lessons on it every day, but his mother said no. Didn't want the neighbors to know they were Jewish. Besides, she said, you go down and play in low bars and dives and saloons on your guitar and on your dobro and on your five-string banjo, you can bring home some extra money. Besides which, you get to know your father a little bit better. And my baby left me, he even took my shoes. That's enough to give a man them low-down worried blues. Baby's gone, solid gone. Now, if you've never been out to Utah, folks, I don't want you to pay any attention to that last dobro break, by the way. If you've never been out to Utah, you probably don't know nothing about us. or our ways, or anybody that was ever born there of any historical repute. I will tell you, though, about one person that was born out there that you may have heard of if you read the newspapers. See, down in the middle of Utah, there's a coal mine county called Carbon County. Price, Castlegate, Schofield, Emery. There was a guy who worked down there for many years. He used to haul dynamite up to the mines every morning for blasting. Take 40 sticks of dynamite, put it in his mule saddlebags. He had one of these big old Rocky Mountain canaries, what we call a mule. And he'd haul it up to the mines at 6 o'clock every morning. One time we had a real bad electrical storm and all dynamite went off at the same time. Blew a hole in the ground 40 feet deep. And all they ever found in that hole was that fella's hat and that mule's ass. But I tell you, folks, this plastic surgery is a wonderful thing. The plastic surgeons gathered up what was left and worked on it for 3 years. Today, that man is the President of the United States. I understand that the hole is the Vice President. I shouldn't make jokes about Mr. Agnew. I understand in the papers today that he had a very bad accident. His library burned down. He lost both books. Hadn't even finished coloring one of them. I'm going up north. I'm going up north this fall. If luck don't change, I ain't coming back at all. Goodbye, babe. My blue-eyed babe, run it out.
Was Utah Phillips and Cannonball Blues. Them jokes is old, but so is the recording. Recorded live in New York State in 1972, 36 years ago, the year they handed me a diploma and cast me out of college and into the real world. Graduate school. But to return to madness, Doug Rocky, called up from the reserves to active duty in Gulf War I, 1991. He became the Army's leading expert on the handling of uranium munitions and how to clean up the environment after their use, if and when the Army feels like bothering. He wrote the book, literally, and the training video on what soldiers need to know and do to use these munitions and to survive their effects. And what sort of medical care soldiers on the DU battlefield should demand and insist on from Army doctors and later from the VA. Not that they stand a snowball's chance in Haditha of getting the care they need. Last week, Doug Rocky talked about where the stuff comes from, how no equipment can keep it from entering your body, and what maladies you can expect once it does. He should know it happened to him and to his team of Army investigators, despite gas masks and chemical suits. Today he'll talk about where the military has been shooting off this stuff, in battle or in testing, how little they care about its effects on the civilian economy or civilian lives, how they intentionally deny care to soldiers in order to save money, and what military recruiters accidentally forget to tell their victims. Like others who have studied the subject, Rocky concludes that using these munitions is not merely a mistake. It is insanity. Here's Doug Rocky again in one of his most impressive performances on a radio call-in program from Trap Rock Peace Center in 2003.
Vieques, Puerto Rico is a sore point. The United States Navy has been firing uranium munitions into Vieques for many, many years. They were finally caught after getting preparation to go to battle in Kosovo in 1999. They shot uranium munitions in direct violation of Department of Defense directives and international law into Vieques. When that happened, I contacted the U.S. Army as a member of the Army's Contaminated Equipment Recovery Team. We're the team that's supposed to clean it up. Tried to get that activated. We were refused permission. I then contacted the colonel that works for the Undersecretary of Defense, Sherry Goodman, and asked for permission to activate the team and provide medical care for Vieques. They refused. It's just very simple on that one. We definitely have used uranium munitions in Okinawa also. We've also used them in Afghanistan. Dr. Asif Durakovich, who is actually U.S. Army Colonel Dr. Asif Durakovich, has absolutely verified high levels of uranium excretion in the Afghan refugees. The Balkans, the same thing. And it's just turned into a total mess. Jim McDermott, United States House Representative from Seattle, Washington, discovered that the United States Navy was deliberately firing uranium rounds into prime fishing areas off the coast of Seattle. They were also doing that off the coast of Nova Scotia. And when he sent the messages in saying, guys, what are you going to do about this? The Navy came back and lied about the health and environmental effects and just ignored it. Most recently, what we're seeing now is because the United States Navy has been forced to abandon Vieques, Puerto Rico, they are now moving into Lancelin, Australia. And that has created an absolute firestorm in Western Australia and across Australia. So it continues on, unabated. You got to remember, the military is not going to go to war without sighting in their rifles and trying their guns. So they're just going to use it like they've done ever, every place. I mean, throughout the United States, right now, they've got 10 years of uranium use at Jefferson Proving Grounds in Indiana. And the U.S. Navy just a few weeks ago went to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and said, hey, we can't go in there. We can't clean it up because it's too dangerous. And the health and environmental effects and leukemias and cancers and respiratory surrounding Jefferson Proving Grounds are just absolutely coming to light, the same as any place this stuff has been manufactured. Back in 1992, the United States Army Department of Defense was found in willful violation of NEPA. That's the National Environmental Protection Act. And I was called at that time to put together all of the stuff to ensure compliance, and they're not doing it. The health and environmental effects are disastrous. The written directives to provide medical care have been issued by multiple people in the Army, including the General of the Army, Eric Shinseki, and the Department Secretary of Defense, and everybody else. And they just continuously, deliberately, and willfully deny medical care, not only the Gulf War I friendly fire casualties in my team, but to everybody else that was exposed according to specific criteria requiring full medical care.
And I wonder if you could speak about the kind of care you've been getting. What health problems have you faced, and what do you find the VA providing?
My health problems have been legendary, but again, it's not about me. When I was director of the Depleted Uranium Project, finally officials in the Department of Energy did what's called a radio bioassay on myself in November of 1994. The Army and the VA had refused to do it from the minute we got done with the Gulf War, and they were supposed to do it immediately. Then the Department of Energy, even though they told the Army that I was hotter than heck for uranium, never told me for 2.5 years. And by that time, my health had deteriorated. They were in direct violation of their own medical directives for care, what's called the protocols on uranium casualties from March of 1993. They just don't care.
Are VA hospitals able to cope with the level of care that veterans are needing?
Absolutely not. And again, the VA hospitals have just had their budgets seriously slashed and reduced. When you're looking at over 221,000 of America's sons and daughters on permanent disability from not only uranium but all the exposures in Gulf War I, and we add all the people sick from the Balkans, and now we add all of them that are sick coming back daily from Gulf War II and Afghanistan, they're unable to cope with it. And to begin with, there is no real medical care for once a person's exposed. Dr. Asif Durakovich has done tremendous work. And again, we have to understand, he's actually U.S. Army Colonel Asif Durakovich. He was their number one medical expert until he started seeing all the adverse health effects on the friendly fire casualties and my staff from the 144th maintenance during Gulf War I. And then he's been finding it all over the place wherever it's been used. Again, that man spoke out, told the truth, as the Army's foremost medical expert. And as a consequence, his career ended also. This is deliberate spreading of solid radioactive waste, not just 1 pound, but hundreds and hundreds of tons, in another nation's backyard where the women and the children will be affected forever unless it's cleaned up.
I wonder what you know about the Oak Ridge facility and its contamination, or any studies that have been done regarding this area on that?
It's just extensive contamination and health effects. I've talked to physicians in the area. I've talked to family members. I've looked at autopsies, looked at medical problems, and it's just extensive. You have to remember, both Oak Ridge, primary product of Oak Ridge, and primary product of Paducah, Kentucky, mm-hmm. in Portsmouth, Ohio, are uranium-238. For every 100 pounds that goes into the process, over 99 pounds is solid waste. That's uranium hexafluoride, fluoride, which is then processed into depleted uranium. It's just a catastrophe that's been going on and known to have health effects since 1943.
What do you have to say to young people thinking of joining the military? What questions should they be asking, and who should they be asking?
Well, I have to understand, I've been in the military since 1967, so I am a warrior, absolute warrior. But when you go to war, you need to ensure that you're going to get all the proper education and training. That's the knowledge and the skills necessary to serve as a soldier. You need to make sure that you're going to get all the medical care that's due you either in peacetime or wartime. And you have to make sure that if something goes wrong or you get in a situation, they give you gas masks and chemical suits that work. I mean, the United States General Accounting Office verified prior to Gulf War II that the gas masks issued to the troops were defective, as were the chemical suits. And they still issued them to kids. You got a real serious problem. We know, absolute know, from General Accounting Office investigations, Department of Defense directives and everything, that the military is still not providing the full education and training required for uranium munitions, much less anything else.
How long was the training manual and video that you prepared for the Army?
40 hours.
And what would you say troops are getting now?
20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Were these weapons used at all in NATO countries in training situations?
Absolutely. Again, probably in Germany, we're verified the stuff up in England and Scotland. They're trying to get that cleaned up. Absolutely been used in Japan and Okinawa, and also pretty sure in Korea. Again, we're looking at way over 20 nations that have this, and the U.S. has given it to. And so any place they're going to come up with it, they're going to shoot it. I mean, it's been shot all over the United States extensively, both on land and at sea. And
now,
it just left their contamination.
We have a former missile instructor from Germany. I mean, he's an American. He had a NATO assignment, and he was mysteriously stricken with some neurological malady, which at first was misidentified as MS. Do you know if that kind of progressive muscle disablement that happens, you know, because of the nervous problem, if that is similar to what might happen with DU?
It's happened to me.
I see.
It's real simple, totally confirmed, and I have a disability from the VA for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're radioactive and heavy metals, they affect the neurological system. They affect the cells.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy the cells, and once it destroys, the cells are actually messed up or destroyed. They don't need to be totally destroyed. They can be damaged.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't function well. And again, that's been showing up. And again, that goes back forever and all the known. But again, we have all the other contaminants of war,
mm-hmm.
all the hazardous materials that are used by a military in moving forward and conducting combat, and then we have all the hazardous materials that are released when we destroy a nation's infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a toxic wasteland that we can't clean up and we can't provide medical care for.
Mm-hmm.
War is obsolete. It's that simple.
Thanks for listening. New World Notes is produced at WWUH-FM, a community service of the University of Hartford. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the presenter, the station management staff, or the licensee, and their expression is protected by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Email me at kdowst@hotmail.com. Until next time, here's wishing you a good week. Illegitimae non carborundum, and keep the faith.